Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of St. Luke, which has already been read. So I ran the dishwasher on Wednesday. I always run the dishwasher on Wednesday because the dishes, glasses, and silverware are dirty again. And I mowed the grass on Thursday because by Thursday the grass has gotten long again. I don't have a regular time to wash the car, but I ran it through the car wash on Monday because it was dirty again. And on Sunday morning, I'm doing this again. Sometimes I cook, and then we eat, and then we get hungry again, have to cook again. And Martha is not a bad person. Martha is a good person, and somebody has to do the cooking. We have noted, or I have noted, that Michael Pollan, the author, has noted that one of the things, there are many, that distinguish humans from animals is that we cook our food. We cook our food. Not all cooks are the same. Not all food is the same. Growing up, we ate a lot of meat and potatoes. And by that, I mean hamburgers and mashed potatoes with no gravy. And God could have left it at that, but he didn't. Before he created us, he created meat. And before he created meat, he created plants for the meat to eat after he had created an environment where those plants can grow. And if you don't want to eat meat, then don't eat meat. A lot of good proteins out there that are good for you. Lots of tasty fruits and vegetables. And you know what? God did not have to create spices, but he did, just for you. The dog doesn't need spices on his food. And not all welcomes are the same. You knock on somebody's door, he cracks the door, hesitates, oh, it's you. What do you want? That's one kind of welcome. Or you knock on somebody's door, she throws the door open, smiles large, oh, it's you. So good to see you. I'm so happy you stopped by. Come on in. I'll put the kettle on. That was Martha when she looked through the peephole and saw Jesus standing there. I've talked about the three basic questions of life. How did we get here? What are we supposed to be doing here? Where am I going to go after I die? The second basic question of life, what are we doing here anyway? What are we supposed to be doing here? And last week, the lawyer said, and Jesus agreed, love God and love your neighbor. And we love God by serving God, and we do that, first three commandments, we do that by how we think about God. It's the triune God. That's the only true God. How we talk about God, use his name in the right way, not the wrong way. How we act towards God. And you're back here on Sunday morning again to hear his word and to worship the triune God. And the lawyer thought that he had the loving God part covered. He did believe in the triune God. He probably used God's name to pray, praise, and give thanks. Probably didn't cuss, and he went to church. And we likewise, in an imperfect manner, cover those first three commandments here on Sunday morning. But remember, the lawyer had to find a loophole to make it possible for him to obey the command to love your neighbor. And remember, he was trying to find that loophole because he was trying to justify himself. So what we're supposed to be doing here is loving God and serving God and loving and serving our neighbor, and somebody has to do the cooking. My wife and I both grew up around here. I'm from Milan. She's from Orion. We moved away like pastors move away. We came back and we found that Jim Fisher was still on the radio. He's not anymore. There are a lot more bike trails, and we have more choices in food. We're not going to go to Checkers after church today, and you don't have to stand in line at Bishop's on Sunday in Davenport to get good food. Lots of good food out there. And you can take it home, or you can grow it, and we eat like kings. And the culture, including Michael Pollan, appreciates good food. And there's a Good Food in the Quad Cities Facebook page. I'm in that group too. You know, the culture kind of goes in cycles. Kind of goes in cycles which vocation we should venerate. Right now we highly venerate good cooks. We call them chefs. Pastor used to be, if not the smartest, then the most educated people in town, person in town. After 9/11, cops and firefighters were the heroes, and lately doctors and healthcare workers. Those are all worthy vocations. And we Christians understand ourselves to be loving our neighbors by serving our neighbor in ways like that and the like. Teachers, trash collectors, factory workers. Somebody has to do those things too, and sometimes you get paid. I was talking to Ben in Wisconsin, one of my people in my first congregation in the mid-80s. He worked at John Deere Horicon. I said, what do you do at the factory? He said, we build snowmobiles in the summer, and we build riding lawnmowers in the winter. I think now they build gaiters. People in other places mine iron and other things that God put into the ground for us to use. Other people in other factories would take that iron and make steel. And rubber from the trees that God put there, I think it's still better than any artificial rubber. And when you had the finished product, steel, rubber, and the like, somebody in Horicon would put oil and gas, probably the oil and gas are a result of the flood, that had been drilled, refined in other places, they would put that into the riding lawnmower. So Ben told me that his job was to check the oil, start the mower, let it run for 1 minute, then shut it off, then check the oil, then send it on down the line. And somebody has to do those things. And I can mow my couple acres with my John Deere ZTR in a couple hours. Without the mower, it would take a lot longer. Maybe I have to get sheep. Then got paid. Our farmers make corn and things. And a lot of that ends up on a lot of plates at a lot of meals. A few years ago, I heard that Ford was going to use soybeans in the seats of their pickup trucks. And my first thought was, wait till the mice hear about that. And actually, a lot of the foam in the seats of your Ford are made out of soybeans. Most people have multiple vocations. Father, mother, child are vocations. Citizens, employers, employees are vocations. And you can do them well or not, and you often get paid. Somebody has to do the cooking. And Martha is doing the cooking and things that you want to say but don't. I do that all the time. I sort of boast to my wife, I wanted to say this, but I did not say it. Jesus did not say, Martha, get in here for Bible study. You don't think that people know that we have adult Bible class here every Sunday and divine service every Sunday, including a sermon? Jesus knew, as well as I know, that he can't make people come to church or to Bible study. And he was hungry, and Martha was cooking. And you can't have a country like ours with a strong military. I like baseball. They entertain me. Martha's cooking. That's a good thing. Apparently Mary can't stand the heat. And you have perhaps seen this very thing here, keeping score of who brought what food at a family gathering. That's nothing new. And if the person in the kitchen asks you to be her sous chef, means to help out, and you say, "I'm watching the ball game," see how that goes for you. Martha knows that Mary is at Bible study, but Martha doesn't yell at Mary. She doesn't yell at Mary. She does yell at Jesus about Mary. "Lord, do you not care that?" And we wait in eager anticipation for this crucial thing. It must be a pretty important thing for Martha to interrupt Bible study to yell at Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" To serve alone. I wonder if she yells at Jesus because she knows from past experience that yelling at Mary doesn't work. But still. And you can't fly across the ocean without a pilot. And the engineers designed the plane. And others built it in a factory. And I can't even drive to Michigan without people who design and build cars. And whenever I stop at a gas station, there's gas. And that gas didn't just jump out of the ground, run itself through the refinery, walk up from Tulsa and dump into that underground tank at Casey's. Somebody makes the pump too. And other people take the money. Otherwise there wouldn't be anybody there to take my money. And you know the way those things play out, you don't just all of a sudden decide to yell at Jesus. Kind of have to work up to that. A little bit hot under the collar, then a slow simmer. And then it's not so much a decision you make, the thing just comes to a boil. And would you listen to those words that just came out of my mouth? But words are like toothpaste. And I'm one who's very careful about what I say. Every single word. For example, I was going to talk about words coming out of your pie hole. That's a Jim Rohn thing. Didn't seem appropriate for church, so I said mouth instead. Every word. The Eighth Commandment tells us that true sentences, not false sentences, should come out of our mouths. And that's one way we can serve our neighbor, by speaking highly of our neighbor, by not putting the worst construction, but the best on the things. For Martha to say that Jesus doesn't care, that doesn't sound like the Jesus I know. But she seems to think it's true. He must not care. Why else would he not tell her then to help me? It's an imperative. It's a command. And being God, we would not expect Jesus to obey the command of Martha or anyone else. And Jesus does not disappoint. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." And we know that drill too, don't we? Anxious about serving, and it didn't stop there. Anxious and troubled about many things. People are people. And people in the day of Jesus are remarkably similar to people today. I, for example, am often, like Mary, anxious and troubled about many things. And they might be the same things that you worry about. Family, that doesn't stop when they become adults. The economy, country, the church, health, problems at work, decisions made and later questioned, the unknown, the zombie apocalypse. When I was a kid, we were told to be anxious and troubled about the possibility of nuclear annihilation. We were told that the Rock Island Arsenal is number 2 on the list, right after D.C., I believed that then I didn't believe it, now I do believe it. It kind of did the logistics center over there. So we did the duck and cover under our desks. We toured the basement at Thomas Jefferson Elementary School. That was going to be our bomb shelter. And there was plenty of rock candy to sustain us during the coming nuclear winter. These days, the 24/7 news cycle tells us to be anxious and troubled about a lot of things and all the time. Artificial intelligence. My artificial intelligence expert, Alex, tells me not to worry, quote, computers are stupid, you have to tell them what to do. Or how about man-made climate change? Teaching at the Lutheran High School, it was one of my goals to teach true things, not false things. So it was probably about 06. Looked at the science behind man-made climate change. That thing has kind of become politicized, and now it's become an industry. And what I mean by that is there is a man-made climate change industry. There are books and curricula from K to PhD. Lots of people work in the man-made climate change industry, and they busy themselves keeping us anxious and troubled about that. Economics has been politicized and become an industry. And you know, if you talk about inflation for long enough, and both parties seem to have wanted it for different reasons, and that's an industry, has been for a long time. And it's the reason why I don't watch the news. Oh, and race. Race has become politicized and is also a very lucrative industry. And those are things to be anxious and troubled about. And there are those people who are drivers of cars, but they shouldn't be. That can be irritating. Or the guy ahead of you at the mini mart who buys the lottery ticket, scratches it off, and he wins, buys another one. Is it wrong to pray that he would lose? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And how many things are needful? The man who once said to Satan, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Man is consistent. One thing needful. One thing needful. And does that mean that Martha should drop her dish towel, turn off the oven, and come to Bible study? Maybe. It certainly means that Martha should take it down a few degrees, maybe from a boil to a simmer. It's kind of about priorities. And that's something we know all about, isn't it? Priorities. My mother died about 5 years ago. I'll never forget, on her deathbed, she said, "I wish I would have spent more time arguing with strangers on the internet." Oh, no, she didn't. Oh, no, she didn't. And if it's a good biking day, the grass can stay long. And if we're watching our show, and we always have a show, the dishes can wait. And there are no Lutheran churches in Italy or Ireland. They're all Catholic. So on Sunday, we went to St. Martin in Florence. Good preacher there. Couldn't understand a word he said. Good preacher. Not many there to hear, but hear it. Lots of people were standing on the sidewalk outside of the church. They streamed in for the sacrament. We passed them streaming out. And then they streamed back out after the sacrament. The next Sunday, we went to church in Galway three times. The one you couldn't understand, I think it was a Gaelic church service. Next one had a wonderful soprano, and at Galway, the priest preached like a Lutheran. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. And the pastor used to tell you not to watch TV, either. But not all TV is the same. There used to be three channels, and we never let our kids free range on TV. And when we saw something objectionable, we would call the local station on the landline. Person answered, and you told them your beef. And they kind of listened. These days, 36 channels on the antenna, streaming, it's complicated. But the entertainment industry, people whose vocation it is to entertain us, some do that better than others. And in the Luther family, it seems like Martin gets all the ink. The most books are written about in this order, have been written about in this order, Jesus, Paul, and Martin Luther. And you either love Luther or not, and in that he's in good company with Paul and Jesus. Martin Luther did not invent vocation. Like a lot of other things he and the other reformers brought, it was a reformation. It was not a new church. It was a return to the church of the apostles as articulated in the New Testament. In fact, Luther wrote in the Catechism, section 3. It's on page 328 in the hymnal. Don't turn to it right now. Articulates the table of duties, various vocations, and what the New Testament says about those various vocations. And in Luther's day, somebody had to do the cooking. And while Martin was out figuring out Reformation, new thing, Katie was in the kitchen, and he would often bring students home with him, one or two or maybe 30, and she brewed beer, raised fish, raised livestock, kept a garden, and recreated the lost vocation of pastor's wife. That's a vocation. I know that because we fill out this SET, self-evaluation tool. And if you're thinking about calling a pastor, you can read through all this stuff that he thinks about himself, evaluates himself. I don't think this is on there anymore, but it used to include, what does your wife do? What does your wife do? One guy asked his wife, and she said, I take care of the pastor. I take care of the pastor. And taking care of the pastor is a full-time job. And if you don't believe that, ask her. Ask which her. Ask any of the hers who are pastor's wife, they'll tell you. And they might even tell you that it can kill you and name names. I asked my father what his mother did, and without hesitation, he said, well, she raised three children for starters, and he went from there. Somebody has to do the cooking. But Jesus would have us to think that, well, let Jesus do the talking for himself. In the New Testament, the word is need. Sick people need a doctor. Hungry people need food. And using that same word here, he says one thing is needful. One thing. And Mary has chosen the good portion, and then he defines that thing, and it will not be taken away. Maybe Peter was thinking about this or of this when he quoted Isaiah. First, he talked about obedience to the truth, Peter does. Love of the brethren with all your heart. Where have I heard that before? Then he quotes Isaiah, who says, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers. And the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Isaiah and Peter and Jesus were talking about the spoken word, the written word that point us to Jesus. The word became flesh. And that was kind of his vocation, wasn't it? We talk about Jesus being a carpenter. Actually, he's probably more like what we would call a builder. He was a child. Several other vocations. Taking on flesh. That was his highest vocation. That was how he served his father. That's how Jesus, the Good Samaritan, served his neighbor. By taking on human flesh. Entering into this fallen world to save us from ourselves. And he attached the word himself to water and made baptism. And we were birthed into this new life by baptism. Then he took that same word and attached it to himself and attached us to bread and wine that sustain us in this life he has given to us. And because of whom he is, he was the only one able to do that. We can't even save ourselves, let alone others. God created us. He redeemed us. One day he will take us to our heavenly home. And that's the answer to the third question. Where am I going? Am I leave here? What are we supposed to be doing until then? While we're waiting for that, somebody has to do the cooking and the like. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.